to Lattes and Lasers, where we talk about all things maker life, maker business, all that good fun stuff. And we do sip a little bit of coffee each day to get the day going. So I'm Holly McKay. And as always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Amy Kant. What's up, Amy? As we've got the giggles.
I know, we have the giggles. It has been a morning already. And we had to already restart the podcast record. So,
and what's funny is we've not done that. We've not really screwed up anything when we've recorded. Well, maybe like some sound things here and there, but
nothing significant. So I think that's going to be indicative of how this episode is going to go. So buckle up, everybody.
Make editing fun.
That's a problem for future me. Current me does not need to worry about that. And I need to keep my anxiety in check on that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I get it. I feel it. Yeah, we're starting a little later today. We've had things going on. I have a concert to go to tonight. And a bunch of third graders putting on a little concert.
Oh, I was like, what kind of concert? Is Holly going to be up late? But then you said third graders. And I said, no, it's going to be done in time for a normal
bedtime.
It's going to
be one of those hot mess concerts.
Those are the best.
But Aunt Holly has to go. So
you absolutely do. You absolutely do. Those are pure gold. Those little like dance concerts, singing concerts from little kids. It's,
yeah, I love it.
Love it.
Can't wait.
That's awesome.
Yay!
Holly, you know, we're getting down to our final selection of this first batch of coffees. What are we drinking today?
So today we are drinking Bulletproof the High Achiever. I made mine iced because we are recording a little later and I didn't want to remake a whole nother pot. It's kind of what I do sometimes. But yeah, this is a energy and focused coffee enhanced with B vitamins. It says it has lion's mane. Like, what the hell is that about?
Is that a, like, herb?
I don't know. Probably.
It's probably like St. John's wort or like one of those weird, like, found in the wilderness. And
yeah, we should probably look that up. But anyways, and then coffee berry. I guess that's another thing. Anyways, I don't know what all that means, but you know, the energy part of it sounded kind of good to me. So this company is about nutrition. But I don't really think about coffee as being nutritious, right? It's just those things that get me going. However, they use science for their products. So you've heard people talk about like they put MCT oil or grass butter in their coffee. This is one of those coffees. It's kind of made that way. So it's soy-free, dye-free, gluten-free, non-GMO. So it's for those people who follow those kind of diets. I didn't buy it because of that. I bought it because of the focus and energy part of it.
I've only had a couple of sips. I like the idea of energy and focus. And I'm like, is this like Vyvanse in a cup? Because if so, this is much more accessible right now than actual Vyvanse.
Yeah.
You can't get it right now.
I don't know. I mean, I would love to know people who are listening that might be on those types of diets that focus on that kind of thing, what they think if they drink this coffee. I think it's great that they found a niche for it, you know, for this and so. And they have a whole bunch of other products like supplements and other things if you go to their website.
Now that I've had a few drinks, like, it's okay.
So, yeah, I had it hot this morning and I was like, in here I have some French vanilla creamer with it and it's iced. Not as bad as it was this morning. It could be that I just have that little acquired taste going already from this morning. But it wasn't my favorite of the ones that we've had so far. Yeah. So maybe in our last episode, we'll rank our coffees.
Oh, I like that idea.
Maybe.
Let's rank them. And we can each rank them because they may not be the same.
Yeah.
I already know which one I'm going to put lowest. Okay. It's not this one.
I think I know which one you're doing too.
Yeah, because I did
not. But I have to remember back to some of the early ones.
You're going to have to rewatch or re-listen to all the episodes and then give us more views.
Gonna have to.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's okay. Again, I'm drinking it pure black. Maybe I should have put butter in it, I guess, if it's for the people who are doing that, like,
I don't think you have
bulletproof. Or...
Well, I don't know that you have to. I think it's like already kind of supposed to be that. I'm wondering,
No.
does it like just have like higher levels of caffeine?
It just says enhanced ground coffee. It's a medium dark roast. They make other ones too. One called
Yeah.
the Maximizer, which is about metabolism and gut health, and another one that is a keto friendly coffee. So I
Personally, I don't understand how all coffee isn't keto friendly, but that's.
don't know either. I'm not sure, but
I
yeah,
mean,
you can
sure,
get.
if you add like syrups and flavors to it, that's not keto friendly. But
Yeah,
whatever, it's a marketing ploy. It's
it
okay.
is.
Again,
Yeah.
I don't. It's meh. To me,
Yeah, they
it
have.
tastes like what you would maybe get in like your hotel room, the like nondescript coffee that's like,
Yeah, they have stuff you can add to all your coffees. Maybe I might need this brain octane one.
that's what I said. You know what? Like I said, if this is the equivalent to an ADHD medication, I will drink it.
Yeah, maybe you need to try it a few times and just see what it does for you.
Maybe I'll try
Oh,
and see with whenever I get my prescription, and then I can compare them and be like, which
good.
works better? And then talk to my psychiatrist and be like, or
Big
take them
pharma, big
together.
pharma, big pharma is going to save
Yeah,
the
that's what big. Well, then
medicine.
Big Pharma can make more doses
They
available.
could. They should.
So, anyways, that's a
Yeah.
off topic.
Yeah,
Yikes, Amy.
so, and don't forget, everyone, if you're listening, you can also support Lattes and Lasers by buying us a cup of coffee. All you got to do is go over to our website at lattesandlasers.com, click on support. You can buy us however much, however little you want. You can even send us coffee. And to anybody who has already contributed, thank you very much. And every little bit helps because we ain't making no money off this.
So please help us. Let's get into today's main topic. It's one that we have kind of teased throughout the season, so I feel like we better deliver. So today's episode is for all of you who sell online on places like Etsy or your own e-commerce sites. We're going to be unraveling some of the mysteries of SEO and how you can use some different tools to help you increase your shop's visibility and obviously then your sales.
This is my favorite topic in the world. Not in the world, but in the business world. I have other favorite topics.
Have
So
topics I
I
like
have
lamp.
topics. I like lamp. So whether you're a seasoned seller just starting out or whatever, understanding the ins and outs of SEO can be, a little hard, but it is crucial, especially in crowded marketplaces online. It's not the same way as it was 10 years ago. It's not as easy to get found.
Absolutely, Holly. Let's just not even waste any time. Let's jump
Yeah.
right in. Let's
Yeah.
just do it.
That's no it. SEO stands for Search Engine Optimization. It's not just a buzzword. You hear SEO all the time, right? What it really is, a lifeline for selling and getting found online for the most part. And we're going to break all of that down for you. Amy has a lot of experience in SEO. I've done a lot of research with product SEO, and I hope we can provide everybody with some good information here.
In the simplest of terms, SEO helps your products get found by the right people, your ideal or, typical customer. When you optimize your listings with those keywords that are trending, obviously applicable trending,
Yes.
titles, descriptions that are rich with those keywords, you're not just throwing your product out into the ether like, hey, I got this thing, come find me. This is helping direct that attention to a specific place rather than just casting a wide net. What you're doing is strategically placing your products where your target customers are already looking.
Yeah. So, like if you're selling on Etsy, you already know there are just millions of active buyers there, right? There, it's hard to stand out. And if you're not standing out, then you're definitely missing out. So, the first thing you really need to do to understand about sites like Etsy or your own e-commerce sites is that SEO is, you have to actually do keyword research
first before you can even list anything. So it's all about finding the terms that your customers are using to search for their products. So common mistakes I often see people make are they don't just use the keywords that make sense to the product. They'll think, okay, if I just put this word here that I know is trending, they'll see my product. And nothing frustrates me more than when I go somewhere, you know, and I'm looking for something like Christmas and it doesn't have to do with Christmas. And the same thing can happen if they forget to change their keywords, right? So,
Yes, I see this all the time.
right. And if you think that if you're doing it on purpose because you think that you're going to draw in more viewers, you're just going to annoy the customer. They're busy. We don't know anything by now is we don't have time, right? So we are looking for something specific as a customer. So when you narrow it down to what that you know they're searching for that item, you're going to attract the right buyers.
And once you really have those keywords identified, what you have to consider then in your listing is where you nest in those keywords, trying to make it
Right.
as organic feeling as possible,
Right.
including them in the product title, product descriptions, the tags. And this is really where you start to weave in those keywords for better SEO placement on search results pages. And obviously, there is also the tags, like I said, the Etsy categories, but also the section titles for your shop can play a role in that as well. And so, one of the things I know we've seen in our own research is that sometimes people will just put the keywords only in the tags, and they don't think necessarily that the categories are also those great places for keywords. And the other thing that can be very frustrating is sites like Etsy also frequently update their algorithms to improve maybe the UX, the user experience. And so you really need to stay on top of all of those changes because that may impact your own product rankings. And then you have to do some tweaking and adjusting to stay on top of those strategies. It's not necessarily one of those set it and forget it kind of situations. But, if you are doing SEO right, hopefully the algorithms aren't going to affect you that much. But, that I think really though, the key is finding those important keywords, right, Holly?
So there are third-party tools. You've probably heard of them. E-Rank, Allura, Insight Factory, some of those types of things. Some tools like Insight Factory, they will let you see popular niches at the moment. I do find that incredibly helpful for some of my Etsy shops to see what's trending. But I tend, as we talked last week, trends, you may not be one of following all those trends. So that may be something you like. For example, they do have a section in Insight Factory that shows like the most popular niches right now. So like right now, as we're recording, I went and I looked it up. Shirts, home decor, digital products, so things like templates, etc. So if you're in an industry where one of those might be your niches, then that might be something to see what's trending in those niches specifically. I'm pretty much a fan of Everbee personally. I don't find it as helpful with the trending things, but I'm not trying to follow trends all the time.
Right.
I'm really using it more in a way to find keywords. So I'm going to use it as an example in this podcast, but certainly do your research. I liked what Insight Factory had as the free trial. And I was thinking, do I really want to spend the money for this to see really where it takes me? But I am investing in Everbee. Happy to give you all a link. It's an affiliate link, but I'm going to explain to you how I use it for the most part to see how I can find out, like, you know, which words I want. So it's really kind of a secret weapon for Etsy sellers. It's a tool designed to provide insights and market trends, but also lets you see things like the keywords you're looking for. So by analyzing a lot of data, so it's basically a plugin for your browser that you connect to, say, Etsy. So if I open Chrome, I've got it in, my screen's going to look a little different than it did before I had it plugged in. So I can actually click on things and see how other sellers are listing their items and then make decisions based on that to help optimize my own listings.
Yeah, I use Everbee as well, and I also have invested in like the pro version, and I agree there is some really valuable data in there. How would you say that Everbee can really fit into the, you know, being proactive or optimizing your shop's SEO?
For sure, the keyword optimization. That's one area you're going to find a lot of things. It really helps you discover high traffic keywords relevant to your product. So you can also look at some analytics for what your competitors are selling and see,
yes,
like, how long has this been selling? How much have they made off of it? I don't know how accurate that number is. It could be on or off depending on the data as it's being pulled, but it gives you a basic generality to see like how well they're doing with it. So yeah, it allows you to kind of work with that information and then also take that information to figure out how you can differentiate it for your own shop.
I think it's also helpful for sparking maybe like new product ideas or like tangential products. You know, it can kind of help you highlight market gaps and maybe underserved niches, right? It can really help inspire you to maybe develop unique products that meet some of those high volume keywords, which could then further boost your shop's visibility and sales, right?
Right. Because you, if you're going to pick one that's like a high competition, it's going to be hard. So you're trying to find things that are not super competitive that you can actually make some money off of. You know, for me, my favorite thing to do is, and this is how I like to use Everbee, is I like to go to Etsy and I like to search for something similar to what I'm selling. I'm using my head to think about the keywords I would type in for that product. And then what I do is on Etsy, as the first two pages pull up, I don't usually go to the third or anything after. I try to stick to the first two pages. I think there's been proven science that customers don't really like to flip through more than a couple of pages. But I will look. And if you look on Etsy and you see those thumbnails, you'll see popular now and bestseller on a lot of those ones. And those are the ones I'm going to open up. I'm going to open up that listing and then I'm going to tap the analyze button for Everbee that's in my plugin on that listing. And that's how I like to look at it and see, like, okay, this is a bestseller or a popular item. What are they using? What keywords are they using? How well is it doing? It just gives me more insight, and then I'm not wasting my time opening 20 different things. Now I'll go back and try another keyword search to see if something else pops up. And so I'll take that information, combine them together, and then that helps me make my listings, and it works. It absolutely works. So
I think from like a practicality standpoint, it's good to also think about what are some of those hands-on tips or techniques that you can do to really implement those SEO strategies effectively.
Yeah.
And I know for me, first off, when it comes to keywords, it's not just about the quantity.
Yeah.
The placement and relevance really matter. So making sure what is that primary keyword you're going after? That needs to be in your title somewhere and in your tags, but also in the description. With the description, though, the kind of art of SEO comes into play, and it's how to naturally incorporate those keywords while clearly explaining the product. A long time ago, the theory or standard practice with SEO was just like keyword dumping. And I'm not talking specifically about Etsy. I'm thinking like back to like the beginnings of SEO as a practice. People thought you just put every single possible keyword. But now these crawlers, these algorithms are smart. And just having the word on the page isn't enough anymore. Those algorithms look at the context.
They want it to look like it came from a human. That's what they
want.
Exactly.
And so that's where, again, it becomes more of an art. And figuring out how to clearly explain the product while hitting on those keywords.
I can remember back in the day, it was like people would just put the keywords they did and in the first section of their description. It doesn't work that way. If you're doing that, stop. Make it an actual sentence. I know this is jumping ahead. Next week, we're going to be talking a little bit about AI, and we'll talk about how maybe that can help you with those things. Quality content is king, and placing all of those primary keywords, your basic long tail keywords you're going to use in the first few spots of your title and the first few parts of your description is pretty crucial too. Because tools like Google, they only have like their meta descriptions, like I can't remember offhand. It's like around 200 characters, somewhere around. It's probably like 165 or
It
something.
varies
So
depending on the year.
the closer to the front of the sentence you put it, the better. It's going to show up in Google searches for you a lot better that way. So,
Well, and the other thing that then ties into that is having those high quality product images as well as detailed descriptions. That helps with SEO, but also that conversion point of
yeah.
converting a browser or a shopper into a buyer, and that's really
Yeah.
what you're trying to do. Another way that you can help with that is engage with your customers through reviews.
Yeah.
So if you get a really positive review, reply back, "Hey, thank you so much. Glad you like the product. Come back again, see what we got next month." And that can really help boost your shop's SEO, which then makes your products more visible. And the other thing that is key, and this goes into accessibility as well as SEO, is that when you are updating your photos in your Etsy listing, you can add a description or like an alt tag to the image. And so that helps for people who maybe have a visual impairment or are using assistive technology. It helps them understand the picture that is being shown if maybe they can't actually see it.
Yes.
But then that helps with SEO because it's just another place that you can get those important keywords.
I don't
Yeah.
think many people know about it, like where
No,
to
I
type it
don't.
in.
And I feel like it's a fairly new thing on Etsy, right?
I've been doing it for at least 2 years, so
Oh,
yeah,
well, then forget what I said.
Etsy's changed its dashboard for uploading products. I always switch back to classic because I'm just that way. I know exactly where to do it, and so I might have to look on the new way to do it. For
Right.
anybody who uses the new way, definitely helpful. I think I first learned about it during the pandemic when I was on TikTok, and somebody who did SEO for products and stuff on TikTok, she taught things, but she also did it as a service. She talked about this, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize that, you know. So it really helped me start using it.
So I know, Holly, you recently in the last year or so did a ton of research on SEO and trends and really doing some deep dives to further niche your products and to kind of really focus what you were doing. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how you used these tools to really niche your offerings.
Finding those keywords right through Everbee were so great, was great for me. With Etsy, I started advertising. Advertising is another way to kind of boost your exposure in Etsy, but I don't think people know about this. And I think I did a blog post on this on the Laser Collective, or I did and I didn't post it. I can't remember. But it's about advertising. And if I don't, I will work on a new one. Once you advertise a listing on Etsy, you can let it run for like 5 days or so, 5 to 7 days. Go to your stats where your ads are, tap on the item you are advertising, and then click on it for more details. And then you can choose search terms used to find this product or ad. And you could click on it, and you get a whole list that people use to search and what they clicked on. And if it's a very low ranking one, or say it doesn't make any sense to what your product is, you can turn it off.
I
And
love
you
that
can use
tool.
that information as well to tweak your listing. Like if you're finding your stuff's not, if you've got your SEO figured out, your keywords figured out, you start advertising, you're finding that people aren't using the keywords in those ad searches, you can go back and tweak it and make it better. So I have a I use ClickUp for my daily tasks, right? So I have it set now to go in every other day to check my ads and just kind of like keep an eye on it. I don't advertise my entire shop. I usually, if I'm starting a new ad, I'll pick about five listings and then I will drop it down to maybe three or less. And I will run that. And I like to run it while something's on sale at the same time. I know that's a trick that I maybe nobody wants to hear, but it's definitely something, a trick I like to do, because it's already on sale. It's going to show up. It's advertised. It's going to show up. I've got my SEOs. It gives me really good data. So even if I don't make much off of it, I've earned a lot because I got a lot of great data in that ad set
Yes.
of information. And again, I'll try to do a more detailed like blog post over the Laser Collective on that, but that is one way Evergreen has helped me figure out keywords and then put it to use and then use it to tweak my listings. Once I have a great listing that is selling and ads are working on it, I don't touch it. I don't touch it again because SEO is long term, right? It's not one of those things that you constantly change. Once you've figured out the formula of that item and it works for you, leave it. Try not to make any changes to it because once you do, you may tank it, you know? It's just how it is. So yeah, it's been many beneficial to me, especially when I started learning to niche my shops down a little bit more, figuring out all of that information. It is a lot of work. I think that most customers tend to think of sites like Etsy as a set it and forget it. Like, oh, you're already driving millions of people to the shop to hear. So I just have to put my stuff up and then it's just going to happen. And I see this a lot in like some of the Facebook groups, like I've only got like 30 views, or I have all these views and I don't have any sales. And it's because you still have to do the work. You've got to put in the time. You've got to find out those keywords. You've got to figure it all out and play the game and see how it, results work for you or not work for you. Make changes. That's how you start gaining. I opened a new shop a couple of weeks. Well, it's probably been up for about a month, maybe. It's a digital shop. I'm not gonna say what it is because it's just one of those I'm running right now on the side. I have gotten fairly decent traffic and sales from it because I know what I'm doing now, versus if I just went blindly and threw stuff up without knowing any of the SEO portion of what I need to do. So put in the work and you'll get results.
I know one thing I've seen experts in the field talk about, and I want to know your opinion on this, is that the more listings you have in your shop, the more likely your shop is to get featured higher.
You know,
What do you think about that?
I don't know if it's totally that or if that's just a part of it. But I think what is happening is consistency, showing that your shop is active, actively doing the SEO work. As you start making sales, Etsy goes, okay, it's a good shop. It's legit. They're doing their thing. As you get customers leaving you reviews, all right. Good shop doing their thing. People are buying. They like it. So there is a whole lot of things that play into it. So I wouldn't say like sit there for 1 week and crank out 100 things and throw them up on Etsy. What I would say is maybe 3 a week minimum, 3 a week. I don't know, somewhere around there, maybe 3 to 5, whatever you're comfortable with. Spend time and do it in a quality way and gradually build up to that. And I think that the key is after 30 days, you kind of start seeing a little bit more traffic because you've been consistently putting in the work. That's kind of my take on it. I
Yeah.
know SEO is like a huge like bullet point list. I did a blog post on this of like all the things they factor in for algorithm, but you really need to start selling things and getting reviews. That's kind of where I've found that it helps. So
The other thing I think to keep in mind when you're using like the tools like Everbee, where you're seeing like how many items this particular listing has sold in the last month. For me, the key also is looking at how many times that product has been sold in the lifetime of the listing because of the seasonality of products, right? So when you may see, oh, I keep seeing this product when I'm doing my research for this keyword, but then I go to it and it's sold once in the last 30 days. Well, that might be because it's a seasonal product and we're out of season. But you don't want to take those high performing listings down for a season. You have to keep them up there. And I don't know about you, but one of the things, like my highest performing listing, I almost always have ads going for it, even if it's just a dollar a day, and that's the only one I have going, because I don't want Etsy to ever think that I don't value that listing. So even though we are not currently in the like height of that particular product, you know what? It's worth that dollar a day investment, even if it's the only thing I'm advertising, because it shows Etsy that no. I need you to remember me when this starts to pick up, because I need you to be ranking me high, and I will pay for it for that particular product.
Yeah, if I'm not running ads all over, it's always at least one of my best sellers that I'm always running. And I may drop the amount down a little bit, but at least I'm advertising it because I know it sells. I know I make more than I spend on ads on it. My return is really good. The whole return on your investment on the ads is a whole nother science that I'm not great at, but I kind of know, like, if I'm not making money, then I either need to fix that product or I need to not advertise it anymore. Like that's something, you have to just kind of play the game with. It is like a, it's like gambling. It's kind of like it's a risky thing you have to do, but if you can invest in your business in that way and you can afford to do it, do it. The other thing I did want to bring up is that I think some people think the more they advertise a day, the better chance they have. Now, yes and no. So $8 a day is probably the most I would ever spend. And the reason is, depending on how many listings you're going to advertise, I would never advertise my whole shop. I would, like I said, I would pick a few to work with, and then I would spend that money because you may not be actually spending $8 a day. You may only be spending, you're only getting charged per click, right? What people are clicking on and looking at it. So you may only spend $4 a day. And so I've seen people do put $100 in and they probably only spent $20 a day. And I
Oh,
go,
that gives me anxiety.
but at the same time, I'm like, is that really smart? Like, are you getting the tools from the information and data you need from that? Pick three listings, spend $8 a day, let it run for 5 to 7 days, go back and look at your data, tweak your listing, try it again. Because you've got to do that until you find the winning formula for the item that you want to sell. And then, like you said, that becomes your best seller. That's the thing you can advertise. It's always going to stay on the first or second page, and you're good to go. So I wouldn't spend more than that. I really wouldn't. But I know people who go, oh, I'm not spending $20 a day. And I'm like, well, okay, but you're probably not spending $20 a day. You're probably only really spending like $8 a day. Very rarely. And if you are spending that much, you better look at your data because you're probably getting clicks, search terms that make
That aren't
zero
applicable.
sense. Yeah,
And that's one
zero
of
sense.
the big lessons I've learned with that. One, I love using those keywords that brought people to my product as research, because I may not have even realized people are using that particular search phrase or search term. So, like you said, that can help me optimize my listing. Or if I am selling a similar product, that can help me use keywords or tags in that listing. But like you said, the other thing is you can see what other keywords that aren't applicable were used that showed your ad, whether or not someone clicked on it. And for me, that has been, I'm like, oh no, I don't, like it could be a similar type of product, but when I look at that particular search phrase, I know that they are looking for an item that isn't the one that I'm selling, because there's some little word in that key term that I'm like, oh, okay, they're not looking for what I am doing. So I'm going to say, no, don't do that, because I don't want to spend money on that keyword because it's not what the product I'm selling is.
Well,
And then I don't know if you see this. I often will see foreign languages in there. So then I'm like, I don't know what that German is. So then I have to Google to see if it is an applicable keyword.
other thing is, I don't like my ads to rank for generic terms. I don't want, and this applies a lot in the laser file world, right? I don't want my ad for a laser file to just be laser files. That's not specific enough for me. So I will turn it off for that in the ad portion. I may have it in my keywords and my descriptions and titles, but I don't want my ads popping up for that. I really want to niche that because it's so generic. I don't want to waste my money on those things, you know? It's if
Absolutely.
it's a if it's a Christmas ornament laser file, I want my keywords to have to do with Christmas decor, Christmas ornaments, personalized ornament, something to that extent, not all the generics that go with it. So that's another thing to consider when you're looking into turn off some of those search terms with your ads.
Yeah, and it's so competitive. And so when you can help guide that algorithm, to optimize it for your products, that's when you're going to start seeing results as well. Because then you are getting the right buyers or potential buyers to your shop and not just a like casual shopper, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. It's a lot of work and you have to commit to it. Right?
Well, and I think about how I used to do, listings. And I would have like just a couple of sentences and then that was it. And I was like, yeah, that's good enough. Oh, you got to put some work into it. And like you said, that'll play into some of the things we're going to talk about with AI next week as well.
And another thing is if you have similar listings, trying to avoid having your titles and your descriptions be exactly the same,
Yes.
because you compete with yourself. And that's where the AI thing can come in and maybe help you out with that. And we can talk about that next week too. I'm guilty of that. Like I have a Shopify store and then I have an Etsy shop for one of my shops. And a lot of times I'll copy what I put on Shopify and Etsy, and I shouldn't be doing that. I should be making them different enough so that they don't compete with each other.
Yeah,
But
because a
sometimes,
lot of times those algorithms will pick up on that duplicate content and see that you aren't being, that listing isn't original, so then it's going to get tanked in the rankings.
So, yeah, so we'll talk about that next week. I think it gives us some good points to cover when we discuss that, but. Yeah, so well, before we wrap up, just talking about the future as far as SEO goes, e-commerce is always evolving. We talk about the algorithm all the time. Now voice search is starting to become a little bit more prominent. So, thinking about how people ask for products verbally is a really good strategy to follow. I haven't really done a ton of research on that yet. So I know that's there. Also thinking about sustainability and personalization trends. I sell on Fair Wholesale, so there's a lot of stuff about sustainability on there that they would like you to include if that's something you do. Do you offer recycled packaging? Do you source your products ethically? Do you just that kind of stuff? Personalization, huge for us, especially in the laser
Yes.
world. Those trends are very, very high. And so adapting your SEO and product offerings to kind of align with all those trends can also set your shop apart. So,
Absolutely. And I think something to note about the voice search is, and I know this has been shown with SEO as it relates to Google, is that natural language processing is really key. So not necessarily thinking in that kind of formal academic business type of language, but what is the natural language? Because these algorithms and these spiders are becoming so smart that it doesn't have to be so sterile of language anymore. And I'll take a look. I remember in a previous job I had, they would talk about this Google natural language processor, which you can kind of dump in, like maybe a listing or a blog post or something like that, and it will analyze it for, natural language. So, and that kind of plays into that also the voice search piece. Because people are doing that so much now. It's like, hey, Alexa, hey, Siri, XYZ. And that is a completely different search than when you're typing in on your phone or your keyboard. Because you're thinking, you're using a different part of your brain when you're speaking versus typing.
Typing.
And so that can definitely play in. And I think we'll see a lot of things emerge in SEO. Obviously, again, for like Google and the major search engines, but that's going to start to trickle down to places like Etsy and the other marketplaces. But I think one thing we didn't touch on is when folks have an e-commerce site like a Shopify site that isn't Etsy, they think, well, people are just going to come. And that, no, it's not like if you build it, they will come. It's if you build it, if you do the work, maybe they will come. And that's what I see in a lot of these different groups we're in. People are like, well, I'm not doing really well on Etsy, so I think I'm going to set up my own shop and then I can save all the money on the fees. And I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea. Because if you haven't figured it out on Etsy, you and Etsy is driving people to your product if you did it right. So if you're not doing it right on Etsy,
You're not going to do it right.
you're not going to do it right in your own e-commerce shop. Same thing with like TikTok Shop, Fair, what's that new Michael's Market? Like any of those, like if you're not doing it right in a forum where there is a built-in audience for the type of thing that you're selling, if you try to go do it on your own, it's not going to work. And that's part of the reason why I haven't yet set up like a Shopify store. At one point in the last 2 years, I did have an e-commerce WooCommerce shop, but then I was like, why am I spending all this time doing this and maintaining this when I'm not getting any sales here? And part of that, like you said, is I was duplicating subscriptions. And it was like, well, that's, yeah, I'm going to save a little bit on fees if people buy over here than on Etsy. But Etsy is driving so much of my revenue. Why am I not going to just invest a little bit more over there until I can do e-commerce right?
No, I agree. I see that often. A lot of times people say they're going to leave Etsy because they don't like all the things Etsy does, which, like, Etsy is what it is, right? I have never been threatened to get kicked off or anything like that. So I'm not doing anything illegal. So I'm probably not going to get kicked off. Granted, there's like the random thing every now and then, and they say that, well, I don't want to deal with Etsy. I'm afraid of Etsy. I'm just going to do my own thing. And sometimes they're doing it because they don't want the tax purposes, the tax things happening. They're doing it under the table. How many people do we know that do that? But I think people underestimate what Etsy can do for a new seller if you really put in the work. I
Yeah.
agree with
But
you.
like you said, it is the work. You have to put in the work. And if you're not putting in the work, yeah, it's not going to be successful. Like, look, I started an Etsy shop in 2008. I did not sell much of anything until the
It was
last 5 years.
well, and it was so different back then.
Oh my
You know,
gosh, it was wild, wildly different.
it was very different. I mean, as much as we complain about Etsy, when I've got my list, don't get me wrong, I couldn't do what I'm doing there on my own.
No.
I have my own, but it doesn't mean I'm doing better on my own, but I have it.
Right. Well, and part of that can be like, I know as far as like a business optimization standpoint, I know this is something you and I have learned is in order for your business to be long-term successful and sustainable, you cannot rely on your own personal network for sales. You can't rely on your family, your friends, your coworkers, and even their networks. You're not going to be long-term sustainable and successful until you get to that next level. Yeah, you may make some money and have a little bit of profit, but there is no way I could do what I'm doing full time right now if I was only relying on my personal network. There's no way.
No, there's not. Yeah, we know people like that they only sell to their friends and family in their Facebook groups or whatever, and it's not going to get you
It's not going to be a full-time
up
gig.
there.
For some people, they maybe that's not a long-term goal. So
No,
that's fine.
yeah.
That's they want it to be a side gig. They enjoy doing the
Yeah.
creating or whatever. And so then that works for them. And that's great.
Yeah.
You know, no shade
Yeah.
to that, but
Well, And also thinking really quickly, we talked about last week our digital footprint. What we've talked about today are ways you can find those keywords to embed into your landing page to collect
Yes.
emails and that kind of thing. So you're doing the work on Etsy for the shop products, but if you are going to start building a digital footprint with a landing page, a home page, just a one pager, whatever, those things can start going in. I do this with one of my shops. I don't have a full website. I have a home page that has product pictures and it says add to cart, but technically it goes over to Etsy. And I have embedded those keywords into that page. And so I can start collecting emails and market to people that way. So all of this ties together, right? So
Absolutely.
even if you're gonna do it on your own, you gotta do the work. Yeah, absolutely.
Hustling
Yeah.
ain't easy.
Hustling ain't easy. Yeah. That should be a new t-shirt.
That should
Hustling
be
ain't easy.
hustling ain't easy.
Hustling ain't easy.
And the other thing I think to just remember, folks, is you need to stay flexible and adaptable to stay on top of all of these things and to be refining and optimizing your strategies. And that's really going to be the key to success.
Setting it and forgetting it just doesn't work. It's not going to happen. Why do you think big companies hire experts full time?
I mean,
They're
yeah,
constantly.
there's people who are, and I know many of these people who full time do SEO for a business. They're not even in an agency anymore. Like
Yeah.
they're an in-house expert for digital advertising, for search optimization. And that is all they do. They're only doing that full time for that business.
That's a
Crazy.
topic. I love this topic.
I know. And we'll make sure that in the show notes and in the blog post about this episode, we'll include that link for Everbee for that referral code to get you all a discount. We will include some links to some other resources that we know of, like that Google Natural Language Optimizer, some of the different blogs Holly has written over the years, kind of documenting some of her research in that. And we'll include links to some of those other tools we mentioned as well.
Yeah, there's always something.
Yeah.
Was a good topic. So everybody, we're gonna close up here. Don't forget to subscribe to Lattes and Lasers wherever you listen to your podcast for more fascinating discussions with regards to lasers and maker business and that kind of thing. You can find us over at lattesandlasers.com. You can watch our video version on our YouTube channel or on the website. I think we have them embedded in our
We
website.
embed them.
Or again, listening to your favorite locations like Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, iTunes, all those places where you can get your podcasts. So I'm all over.
Yes. And you know what? I'm seeing a lot of our listens are from Apple Podcasts. So we have a lot of
Good.
iPhone or Apple users. Yeah.
Oh,
That's when
interesting.
I've dug
Interesting.
into some of that data.
Oh,
So
nice.
yeah.
Okay.
You know, Holly, it's we are at that time that is one of our favorite times of the
Yeah.
show. And that is the cheesy send-off moment.
Well,
So
I had wondered if you had updated this, and so I'm
I
excited for this.
did. I did. Right before we started recording, I updated it. And part of that was procrastination. But also, I didn't want you to see it ahead of time
I
because
know.
I
I don't
like
want
it
to.
being new for you.
I like
I
it being new
like that.
too.
So I want to surprise you. Okay.
Yeah.
So, poor decisions make the best stories. So, thanks for joining us on another caffeinated adventure.
And I don't think people realize it's POUR
I know, poor, like, poor decision.
until our next brewing session.
I knew this was going to get you. You're going to have to say it again.
Until our next brewing session, lattes do this again.
I
I'm back.
knew that's why I chose this one
I
was for that
love it.
phrase.
Well, people got that. Until our next brewing session, lattes do this again.
Singing
Oh,
Giggle Fest today.
God. I'm telling you, how many times did we have to pause and start over because our internet screwed up? Anyway, folks,
it's been
bye-bye.
a day.
Well, We'll see you next week when we talk about our AI stuff. Yay.
Yay. It's not scary.
No.
All right. Take care, everyone. Bye. This episode of Lattes and Lasers is brought to you by The Laser Collective. Unlock the full potential of your laser cutting and engraving business with our user-friendly laser files. Our carefully designed laser files are tested for quality and are commercial-friendly files, ensuring you can easily create beautiful projects that will impress your customers and drive profits for your business. Learn more at thelasercollective.com. Save 10% off your next order at thelasercollective.etsy.com with promo code LattesandLasers10.